Hey, good day to you. Welcome back to the latest Bernie Miklas show here on my YouTube channel. Thank you for subscribing. Keep getting the word out for us. Appreciate your support. Appreciate all your comments. I learn from them. I like them. I'm challenged by them. It's really good stuff. Please hit the like button and thank you. Thank you as always. All right, today I want to talk about something. Hein Bloom, I want to talk about, I want to push back on this undercurrent of at least some Cardinals fans, right? They can't embrace the hire because they get hung up on the fact that Tampa Bay, when he was there at Tampa Bay, which was where he made his name and reputation in the baseball business, the Rays didn't win a World Series. And so I frankly, this stuff makes me laugh. But I do want to just kind of, I enjoy debunking nonsense. Okay. So I can't help myself, but also I spent a lot of time researching this because I really wanted to kind of show an accurate picture of exactly how remarkable it was what Hein Bloom and other front office operatives at Tampa Bay managed to do on very meager resources. And so I get a kick out of people that think, some emails that I've received, certainly some comments here, some stuff on social media. It's like these geniuses think that they're being like brilliant. They're doing like, gotcha, Bernie. How come you don't talk about the fact that Tampa Bay didn't win a World Series? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so why don't I try to do a little classroom work here, right? I'll share my research. Shall we dig in? Because what Hein Bloom did, and it wasn't just him, but he was a big part of that operation from 2008 to when he wrote their manual on their organizational philosophy and how they teach players and what their systems are. And we do it this way. We do it that way. This is what we believe in. He wrote the manual on that. And he was there through the end of the 2019 season. But the 2020 team was a team that he built. That was the team that made the World Series in the COVID season. Anyway, I really want to do this because I wanted to put it in perspective for my own benefit. But I think the information is really good. But frankly, it also shows just how absolutely ludicrous these people are who are basically, condemning his work in Tampa Bay because one of the poorest franchises in Major League Baseball didn't win a World Series. Okay, whatever you say, champ, I gotcha. Here we go. 13 seasons between 2008 and 2020, Tampa Bay ranked fifth in the majors in regular season winning percentage. Fifth. The Cardinals did slightly better from 2008 through 2020. They were third in the major leagues in winning percentage. See? Well, he didn't do as good as the Cardinals, Bernie. Yeah, no, that's right. Technically, that's correct, right? However, over the 13 seasons, the Cardinals spent $738 million more than Tampa Bay from 2008 through 2020. I repeat, the Cardinals spent $738 million more than the Rays in payroll for 13 seasons, over those 13 seasons. So, even though the Cardinals outspent the Rays by $738 million over those 13 seasons, the Cardinals won 25 more games than the Rays over the 13 seasons. So the Cardinals, despite outspending the Rays by $738 million, they averaged a little less than two wins more per season than the Tampa Bay Rays. Any questions? Seriously. Any questions? And keep in mind that the Cardinals won only 25 more games than Hein Bloom's franchise over the 13 years, even though the Cardinals were housed in the, for the most part, very soft NL Central. There were times where it was better than others. But generally speaking, when you look at Tampa Bay's track, you know, those boys were competing in a monster division, the American League East, with the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, who were good for a while and who spent a lot of money, plus the Orioles, who weren't down all that time. They had some good years under Buck Showalter. But my point is, the Cardinals had an easier track than the Rays, much easier track. If you're talking about regular season division competition and all that stuff, and they still only won 25 more games in the Rays, even though they played in a much easier division and they outspent the Rays by over $700 million. I really don't even know what to say to people that are still going to say, well, but he didn't win a World Series. I mean, that's what this sport is all about. That's the only thing that matters. You got to win the World Series. Okay, so you don't take into account, you know, the budget that he had to work with compared to, say, oh, I don't know, John Mozeliak, for example. Yeah. See the point a little bit? See that point? A little bit? Anyway, even though the Cardinals had that easier track to run on, even though they spent $738 million more dollars in the Rays on payroll, they only won 25 more games, and people out there want to belittle Chaim Bloom's work there. Okay. How do I like to say this? I'm a little ornery today. As my mother, late mother would say, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You know, I never knew what that meant, but I think it meant you woke up grouchy. Anyway, so the people that want to belittle Chaim Bloom's work in Tampa Bay, stellar work in Tampa Bay, because the Rays never won a World Series. Let me put it this way. You folks be crazy. Okay, thank you. That's not all. This, despite outspending Tampa Bay by $738 million over 13 years, the Cardinals and the Rays from 2008 through 2020, the Cardinals and the Rays each made two World Series. So the Rays made as many World Series, they won as many pennants as the Cardinals did over the 13 seasons. Now, granted, the Cardinals won the World Series in 2011. The Rays lost the World Series in 2008 to the Phillies. The Phillies were a better team. The Rays also lost to the Dodgers in 2020. But we're talking about a franchise that, I'll give you the numbers in a minute, that historically is in the bottom five, realistically in the bottom three of payroll, and in at the bottom annually in terms of attendance at home. We're talking about a team, a franchise that has, relative to the big boys, the big spenders, or even the higher range, if not highest spenders like the Cardinals, they were able to do a lot of this stuff with a lot less money, with a lot less fan support. But we're going to disparage Chaim Bloom for that, rather than say, man, that dude's really smart. How could he outflank the Yankees and the Red Sox and get that team to as many World Series as the Cardinals played in? How's that even possible? Because he's really smart, and the Tampa Bay model is really smart. And, you know, you should appreciate the fact that they understand value for performance, that rather than overpaying for mediocrity. More on that later if you stick with me, because I got the goods on that as well. You want to have people like that who can build a great farm system and just keep the talent flowing. And you can take your roster, because it's talented, with homegrown players, and you can selectively add free agents or make a trade here and there to round it off. And you can outperform teams that just blow you away in terms of payroll. That's a good thing. That's really a beautiful thing. Here's something even better. From 2008 through 2020, the Rays competed in more World Series than the Yankees. Yeah, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Mets, and the Braves. And they won as many pennants as the Cardinals, Phillies, and Red Sox. Now, every one of those teams that I just name-checked spent fortunes more than the Rays in payroll. I mean, the Yankees especially, right? The fact that they could even get to two World Series is one of those little baseball miracles. And unlike the Rays, you know, the Cardinals can count on a strong home attendance each year, which was the case again this year. I know they were down, obviously, but in terms of tickets sold, they were still seventh in the majors and sixth in the National League. You know, hardly Pauperville down there. They still, you know, still sold nearly 2.8 million tickets. And from 2008 through 2019, I'm not counting 2020 because there wasn't many fans allowed in the ballpark because of COVID. But from 2008 through 2019, the Cardinals finished among the top three teams in National League home attendance 11 times in 12 years. Heim Bloom and everyone else in the Tampa Bay baseball operation over that long stretch of time, they got nothing to apologize for. They should take a bow for what they were able to do. From 2008 through 2020, the only major league teams to make the postseason more often than Heim Bloom, Eric Neanders, Tampa Bay Rays, before that, Andrew Friedman. The only teams to make the postseason more frequently than the Rays over those 13 seasons. The Dodgers did it 10 times. The Yankees did it 9 times. The Cardinals did it 8 times. Tampa Bay was next. So only 3 teams in the majors made the playoffs more often over the 13-year stretch. And the Rays did it because, like I've been saying, you know, they didn't exactly have a humongous payroll to work with. Over the 13 seasons, the Yankees had the second highest average payroll in the majors. The Dodgers were fourth. The Cardinals were 11th. Tampa Bay made the postseason as many times six as the Red Sox, who had the average payroll ranking those 13 years of third. So they were outperforming. The front office was outperforming the front offices with franchises that had a lot more to work with. From 2008 through 2020, Heim Bloom, the front office of the Rays, they had an average payroll ranking of 27th among the 30 teams. In 9 of the 13 seasons, they were ranked 28th, 29th, or 30th. Tampa Bay never spent more than $77 million in a season on player payroll. They were under $60 million a bunch of times. From 2008 through 2020, the Cardinals spent approximately $1.5 billion based on the 26-man payroll accounting. But did the Cardinals really have all that much more to show for that compared to Tampa Bay for the money that they invested? Given that Tampa Bay had very, very little money, relatively speaking, to work with, did the Cardinals really beat the Rays? They won the World Series in 2011. I'm glad they did. Congratulations. Thank you. Hope we don't have to. I hope I'm still alive next time that they win one. But the Cardinals have, you know, you all know this, and Bill DeWitt could spend more money if he wanted to, but I'm glad that he doesn't, because it means that they would just be wasting more money with terrible decisions, and more on that coming up. But this is like a no contest. If we're talking about who was the better baseball person running an organization and building a farm system that sustained the success of that organization, despite the fact it had extremely limited attendance and fan revenue, and they play in a terrible ballpark, this is like a no contest. There's just no debate here. And I'm just stunned. I guess I shouldn't be stunned, because in the United States of America these days, as we all know, facts they don't matter. They used to matter. They don't matter. That applies to baseball, sports, anything else, too. But there are people that are still going to be like Heim Bloom deniers about Tampa Bay. All I know is they never won a World Series. That's all I know. Good job, Einstein. If you can't understand why what Tampa Bay was able to pull off, going to the playoffs all those times, even though they had to take on the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, and at times the Orioles in the AL East, and then they had to kind of navigate through a minefield in the American League playoffs, and the fact that they were able to win a couple of pennants and get the two World Series, despite never spending more than $77 million in a season, that's really good work. But those of you who disagree with that, listen, thank you for coming to the channel. And I am grateful for the support, but I also don't try to be a phony. If you were one of the people saying, well, you know, well, I don't see what the big deal is about what he did down there. You really don't want to listen to the facts or pay attention to them. You, for some reason, you have your mind made up. I don't know why you don't like them. Listen, I'm like that too. Sometimes you just don't like somebody, or you're just kind of like, I don't know, something about it. I don't know. I mean, that whole Tampa Bay thing. Okay, whatever. But, you know, I don't have to be crazy about this hiring, that type of thing. Well, you don't have to be. But here's what I can't stand. It's sort of like the Ali Marmol thing or any number of things we could mention. I respect people who say, I just don't like them. Okay. I just don't like them. And that's all I got to say, because it's my opinion. You say that, tip of the cap. I respect you. You know why? Because you're being honest. What I get a kick out of, and I'm also irritated by the people that try to just twist themselves in knots, pretzel knots, and just, you know, like, it's a good thing they don't have like shoestrings. They'd be all laced up and couldn't move their hands or whatever. Trying to actually make it seem like it's because of baseball reasons. Sometimes it is. But most of the time, it doesn't really matter what the person, whoever that person is we're talking about, because you just don't like them. And that's okay to say you don't like them. You don't have to be dishonest and try to justify it with some convoluted baseball thing that most of the time doesn't carry as much validity as you think. Sometimes it does. Let's get to part two of this. And I gotta get to my new set of notes. Yeah. Heim Bloom's Tampa Bay Rays got the more World Series than the Yankees. Should I have just left it at that? Right? I probably could have just left it at that and got to as many World Series as the Cardinals did. I don't know if I needed to say anything more than that. And people say, well, you're cherry picking the year. No, I'm not. Heim Bloom moved into a prominent role in that front office in 2008. He left after the 2019 season, but the team that made the World Series in 2020 was not every single piece, of course, but absolutely primarily built by Heim Bloom. Carry over to 2020, they get to the World Series. All right, now let's talk about something closer to home and why. Well, actually, I'm connecting the reasons why I think Heim Bloom's a really great hire, because there's going to be more payroll efficiency, and payroll efficiency is a desirable thing. It's not a
get to know the weed, the weed is cheap.
It's not that. I'm gonna repeat this. I don't care if I repeat it a million times. I want a smart organization again. I want a smart baseball operation again. I want to see the money well spent. I want to see money spent, and Heim Bloom will have more resources than he did in Tampa Bay, but I still would hold him to the same standard. I want to see when he takes over a year from now. But I'm still going to apply to the same standard. Did whatever money is available to you, did you spend it smartly? Yeah, everyone's going to make a mistake. That's the other thing I like about people. They'll point, well, you didn't mention he signed Trevor Story in Boston. That hasn't worked out. No, it hasn't. But I also remember for about 3 years running, maybe longer, Cardinals fans filled up my email box and text message lines at radio stations like, Cardinals need to go get that Trevor Story. They got to go get him, and then you got to reunite him with Arenada, and then you sign him to a long-term contract. I heard that a million times, okay? So Heim Bloom did that, but now you're going to use it against him. But if the Cardinals had done it, you would have been, oh, see, that's exactly what we wanted here. We needed Trevor Story. So spare me the hypocrisy. Again, I'd rather you just be really honest, even if I disagree with the opinion. I don't need the hypocrisy, all right? That's true of anybody, including the woman I love who's downstairs right now, my wife. I don't have much use for hypocrisy. And I like to be called out when I'm being a hypocrite. Sometimes maybe I'm being usually I do call myself out about being a hypocrite. I will confess to being a hypocrite. Sometimes maybe I didn't realize I was being a hypocrite. I'm always open to the charge. I don't get defensive about it, because we all dabble in hypocrisy based on what an agenda might be. All right, let me get back to this. I apologize. Since the start of the 2016 season, the Cardinals have spent approximately $1.2 $1 billion on player salaries. And what do they have to show for that investment that covers nine seasons, including this recent season, this season? So what do they have to show for the $1.2 billion? Well, a couple of division titles. That's nice. Four postseason appearances, you know, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022. That's nice. But if you're going to hold Chaim Bloom, if you're going to hold the Cardinals to the same standard with your selective prosecution of Chaim Bloom, then we need to talk a little bit. So if your litmus test for Chaim Bloom is, oh, he never won a World Series in Tampa. I must have missed that World Series parade, Bernie. Okay. If that's your criteria, all right. We can do it that way. So the Cardinals, like I said, you know, four playoff appearances, whatever, although they've missed the playoffs five of the last eight full seasons. But for their $1.2 billion over the last 9 years, the Cardinals have four postseason wins. Four. And they've lost nine out of their last 10. In 2021 and 22 combined, the Cardinals went 1-5 against the Padres, Dodgers, and Phillies. So over the last five seasons, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, over the last five seasons, the Cardinals paid their players $740 million. And the reward for all of that, that expenditure, $740 million, uno, postseason victory. One. That Chaim Bloom never won a World Series in Tampa with that $60 million payroll. I don't see why he's considered so good. Let's take a look at spending this year and where it got them. It did get them to 83 wins, which was the same amount as the 2006 Cardinals who won the World Series. Different time, different place. All right, I'm going to read you a lot of names here, but it's the only way I can do this. The Cardinals paid there's 13 players on this list, including Paul DeJong. You're like, well, wait a minute. He's gone. No, he is gone. We know that. But according to Fangraphs, the Cardinals still owed the Blue Jays $2 million this year for the trade that sent DeJong to Toronto last summer. So you add that to the 2024 payroll scale. You just do. So let me read you these names. Okay, the Cardinals paid Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Miles Michaelis, Steven Matz, Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn, Keenan Middleton, Giovanni Gallegos, Tommy Edmond, Dylan Carlson, Matt Carpenter, Brandon Crawford, and Paul DeJong, a total of $123.6 million. I explain why DeJong is on the list. Middleton was a free agent reliever that I thought it was a good signing, but you never can predict reliever injuries. He signed for $5 million but never pitched because of a forearm injury. Edmund never played an inning for the Cardinals until they moved him to the Dodgers in the three-team trade that brought Eric Fetty here as the pitcher. But the Cardinals, before they traded Edmund, they paid him $4.66 million for this season, and then the Dodgers picked it up from there, whatever was left. So they paid him $4.66 million to rehab from his wrist surgery. They also paid Dylan Carlson over $1.6 million before they got him down to Tampa Bay. Gallegos flamed out early in the 2024 season, and they stopped using him and then eventually designated him for assignment. $5.5 million wasted there. So if you add up the performance value of those 13 players, okay, and I'm using wins above replacement because, as I always say, it's just a snapshot. You don't have to embrace it. It just gives you an idea. So for that $123.6 million paid to 13 players, 12 players plus the $2 million to Toronto, the Cardinals got, in terms of value, they got 7.7 wins above replacement. Out of 13 separate investments in salary that added up to $123.6 million. Now, I didn't include Sonny Gray on this list because, first of all, he had a deferred salary. He's making $10 million, and he was disappointing in some ways. I couldn't stand the way he pitched on the road, but he still had 3.8 wins above replacement, which is good. So no, I try to be fair here. And this has nothing to do, because I know a lot of you say this, and I don't disagree at all. It's like, well, he's not a true number one. I agree. But he's still a pretty damn good pitcher. It's just that, you know, what he provided, he had a lot of strikeouts. He provided pretty good value, just was disappointing overall. But there's nothing wrong with 3.8 wins above replacement for a $10 million salary. I didn't include Wilson Contreras because he played and he hit very, very well when healthy. But he missed substantial time because he got hit on the swing, broke a forearm, J.D. Martinez swing. And he got a broken finger when he got hit by a pitch. So Contreras played, he provided a lot of value when he actually played. So let's cut to the chase here. And no, it's not his fault that he, you know, got hit by a pitch, because I've heard some. The Contreras haters are a weird legion out there. Very strange people in terms of, I don't know why they hate this guy so much. Because you have somebody say, well, blame him. Well, you know, he didn't set up right. That's why he got bonked on the forearm. He set up that way because the Cardinals wanted him to, because they wanted to improve his pitch framing. This is one of the things that they suggested. It's one of the things that his brother, the Milwaukee catcher, William Contreras, suggested. You need a different setup. That's what he was doing. He got bonked on the forearm, got it fractured, and he was out. And somehow I have no idea why a guy who crowds the plate and he gets hit by a pitch, it's his fault. He wasn't standing on home plate when Pablo Lopez delivered that fastball that hit him on the whatever, I think it was the middle finger, maybe the index finger. People were actually like pointing that finger at Contreras. You never saw players, you never saw hitters crowd the plate? Was this a first time thing for y'all? I gave some stats on this when Wilson Contreras, want to know why he crowded the plate? Because when they would pitch him outside, thinking, well, you know, if I miss inside, he's going to kill it, or I'm going to hit him or whatever, but I'm going to try to keep the ball away from him. And that's why Contreras set up tight on the plate, because he could get to the outside pitch and drive it. He hit 340 this year on outside pitches, and the slugging percentage was like nearly 600. That's why he crowds a plate. Anyway. 7.7 wins above replacement. It's a junky return on that huge investment that the Cardinals made. Fangraphs has a thing where they have a value calculator, and they tell you basically what a player's salary would be based on his performance if he were, for example, to sign a one-year contract as a free agent. So in terms of the Fangraphs value calculations, all those Cardinals I mentioned, you add them all together, the Cardinals received 1.5 million dollars in performance value. Back. I think I'm back. We had a little glitch there. You know, something's been going on with. I think I'm back. This is unprofessional, not intentionally. I've been having glitches, which I'm going to get to work on. I'm trying to figure out what the reason is. It could be some bad wireless or whatever. So I apologize for that, but we're back. And if you want to talk about Chaim Bloom not winning a World Series during his time in Tampa Bay, you can do whatever you want. I mean, just given the resources, they did a fantastic job down there. And if you want to start screaming Boston, 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 to declare Bloom a failure, and I've seen it in the comments section, oh, he was a failure there, Bernie. No, he wasn't. I could school you on a lot of things, but I have a feeling it won't matter, because once you make up your mind, that's it. Facts don't matter. I get it. So if you don't like Bloom, you don't have to like Bloom. If you think they could have done better, okay, you think they could have done better. Let me know if you want in this comment section, who would like to have hired? Number one, rebuild the farm system. There was nobody better out there and more qualified than Chaim Bloom for that job. And that's a huge, 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 huge thing. And, you know, who would you like to have do that and then take over for John Mozeliak? So you can tell me. And the person has to be available, by the way. You know, this isn't like a fantasy football draft or something. You can't say, well, I'd go get Dave Dombrowski or what. No, he's got a job. I'm talking about who is out there now would be like a president of baseball operations for you. And now you're going to go, you probably pick some dinosaur or something, whatever. It's okay. But I'm just saying, I think Chaim Bloom, for many reasons, is ideal for this opportunity. And as I mentioned yesterday, Chaim Bloom also learned from the mistakes he made as the chief baseball officer in Boston. So he's better prepared this time around. But I could school you on a lot of things about Boston. I've done it a little bit. Well, first of all, ownership wanted him to slash payroll. Hey, we're in here, farm system. We're going to slash. We're going to slash payroll. Okay, he did that. He built a great farm system for them and got it done in two time. When he took a really short time, when he took over, they had a 30th farm system, dead last. By the end of this year, and with the players that he drafted, they had the third best farm system in baseball. So they went from 30 to third, 30 to number three. And they did make the playoffs once. They finished last a couple of times. But that's kind of what happens when your owner says, look, your priority, Mr. Bloom, is to get this farm system running. We want the Tampa Bay model. We're going to cut costs. We're going to slash budget. And we're going to rely on the homegrown players. Well, first of all, the homegrown players weren't ready then, but yet they held Chaim Bloom accountable for the record. Does that make sense to anybody? He did exactly what they told him to do when they prioritized what it is they wanted from him, and he did the job great. He rebuilt their farm system in short time. He didn't want to trade Mookie Betts. They made him trade Mookie Betts because they knew it was going to cost a lot more than they wanted to pay. He didn't want to trade Mookie Betts, but you know what? Here's the deal. He didn't own the team. We all have bosses, I think, right? One day I won't have a boss. I'll just be working for myself entirely. But then it'll probably be too late. Don't forget, Bloom also lost his manager for 2020 because Alex Cora got suspended by Major League Baseball. He was the bench coach in Houston in the middle of all the sign-stealing stuff. And the Red Sox fired him, and then they later hired him back. But that was a little disruptive, I would say, to the Chaim Bloom regime. He never really received a fair shot in Boston. He was low-bridged by their owner, who couldn't make up his mind on what he wanted. So I've given you the rundown about how much more Chaim Bloom did with a whole lot less than the Cardinals over the corresponding time. He got the same number of World Series over those 13 years and only made the playoffs two fewer times than the Cardinals did. And also, Tampa Bay won more playoff games than most major league teams over that time frame. I looked that up too. And you know, Tampa Bay, from between 2008 and 2020, they only four teams in the majors played in more postseason games, and only six teams won more postseason games. He's got nothing to apologize. That was outstanding work in Tampa Bay. And what I like about it, because I just gave you the Mozeliak spending and this payroll that didn't, it delivered about half the value of the salaries that they paid for. I don't think the Cardinals are going to be wasting too much money when Chaim Bloom takes over for John Mozeliak. And in a couple of years, hopefully for the Cardinals, there'll be some really good players on the way. In fact, there are some really good players on the way. So I like the idea of payroll efficiency. It's not a dirty phrase. It's nothing to hide under the covers about. It's actually good. Unless, of course, you would prefer maybe Bill can, maybe BD Jr., maybe he can, you know, talk Mo into staying another couple, 3 years. Yeah, just do what you do, Mo. I know we've had some rough times, but do what you do. You be you, Mo. Is that what you want? I don't think so. So looking forward to the Chaim Bloom era when it begins in earnest, actually now starting with the farm system, or actually started last year with his evaluation farm system. Anyway, I'm trying to sneak back later. I'm sorry for the technical glitch. Again, I'm not sure what to do here, but we're going to try to get it firmed up. I am a novice. Take care.